Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Greetings to all of you listening around the world, and a warm welcome as we bring you another edition of the Answers for the Family radio show. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and each week this show will address issues such as family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and many things that will improve all of our lives. Having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields and skilled authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, for all of you out there listening, please, I'm looking for some show ambassadors. And these are people that we would like to have them forward at least one of our shows to your social media group and to someone that you know that can benefit from a particular show. You will not only be doing them a favor, but you will be also helping to spread the word. And it's just one more way that we, as a group, make a positive difference in the lives of others. Now, our topic today is also the title of our guest book, and it is My Fur Ever Family. Now, the little pup that this fun-filled true story is about teaches children about healthy daily practices, along with the joy of snuggling and reading books together. Now, as the story unfolds, it inspires in its readers compassion, love, tenderness, helping others, being responsible, active faith practices, curiosity, and perseverance. And I don't know about anybody else out there, but even to this day, I still love being read to. So our guest today is Lisa Overcash. She is a wellness coach, yoga instructor, author, and Thai yoga practitioner. And she knows what it feels like to be knocked off your game. Lisa shares she has had multiple sclerosis for 14 years, but she does not let it overwhelm her life. Instead, she chooses each day to rise above the obstacles that it sometimes brings. Though life can be pretty tough at times, Lisa continues to rise above the challenges to be the best person that she can be by making a difference in ways that she can. Now, one way that she makes a difference is for every hour of paid wellness coaching time that she takes in, or yoga and fitness classes, or Thai yoga sessions, Lisa gives away an hour free to make a positive difference in others' lives that otherwise would have trouble being able to pay for. And if that wasn't enough, Lisa also serves in her community hospitals, nursing homes, assisted living facilities, schools, and churches with her Yorkshire Terrier Promise as a therapy visitation team. Lisa, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
Well, I'm excited to have you. I got a chance to go through and read part of the book, and what a beautiful thing it is. I'm a parent who read to my children, and as I said in the introduction, I'm also one that still enjoys not only reading to others, because I was a room dad for many years when my kids were young, but also being read to, being able to relax, lay back. One of the best ways to do it sometimes is to do it laying on the grass outside and have somebody read to you. It's just a beautiful thing. It's incredibly therapeutic. And you know, and I think as I provided a bit of a teaser in your introduction, why don't you share with our listeners a little bit about what the story is as it relates
Alert.
To My Forever
System
Family.
Scan is recommended.
Yes, about the book is the story of the little puppy. The puppy narrates the story and shares her adventures. Part of the story, you will see she longs to be loved and to be given a special name. And in this fun, true story, as you were saying, you will find examples of love and joy, peace, hope, and faith. And as the story progresses, the child the children in the story are a part of the story. So it's like the human beings, the siblings, are welcoming in this puppy, and the puppy narrates what's going on. Initially, this little Yorkshire Terrier, along with the siblings, are very concerned about leaving the big daddy who's in charge of them. And this one little puppy shares her adventures and how much she longs for things to get great and wonderful in her life, even though she's a little shy and scared. So as the story unfolds, these lessons start evolving by the different photos that you see, the illustrations that are given in the story, and there's some basic activities and routines of daily living, along with typical challenges that arise in the family situations that are presented as well. Some of them are like brushing your teeth and making sure you do a good job, which we all really want that for our children. And taking turns can be quite challenging for children, as well as showing compassion. And if you don't have an example of somehow these things evolve in a healthy way, it's harder to allow these to occur in our lives on a daily basis. And then you'll see some of the children taking initiative when they see something that needs to happen, and then persevering in situations that seem challenging, and just to keep on trying and not to give up. And of course, we all have times when we know we'd rather not be doing certain things, but we have that difficulty of being able to establish some discipline and some self-control. So the book shows you some examples of how children can create this awareness of what's going on and what might be best to do. And yes, maybe I should hold back here and just be the person that's going to be considerate of others, and maybe not say or do something that I'd like to do, and listen to what my heart's saying versus what my instincts or my impulses might want me to do.
You know, Lisa, one of the things that I loved the most that I felt as I was going through it was that it was so focused on not doing it for them. I think that as a society, we've gotten so caught up in this idea that we need to do for them, that the best way to protect, you know, our children is to keep doing it for them. And what I loved about it was that this, and you said the term holding back, I think it's almost natural. I mean, as a parent, we want to do everything we can. But that ability to hold back and to let them do it themselves, that's how they learn. That's how they get better. That's how they learn all of the traits that you mentioned in the book. So anyway, that was one of the things that I got. And also at that point, as I was getting that, I felt this is something that should be in every home as it relates to someone who is bringing up young children. And I could also see reading it, in preschool, in kindergarten, reading it to the kids and let them talk about how that makes them feel. Go home and take care of some of these things.
Absolutely. I have been reading it for preschoolers as well and kindergarten. And recently I was able to go to a home for women that may have had some challenges in their lives and found themselves pregnant. So it was great to get in on that level of reading with these young women as a way of, this is kind of some guidance that you can have when your babies do come here. Because it teaches such positive lifestyle values, not just for the children, but for parents as they're going through. And the children receive it just through the pleasure reading. And it gives this expression of positive and encouraging care. And when we have this type of environment, it helps children feel comfortable. And it helps them to feel it's okay to be their unique selves, as well as sharing their feelings. And, you know, in this mental health and inner drama of childhood, it's so important for us to acknowledge that, as you were saying earlier, and giving them the opportunity to explore, where am I at in this world and what's important and how do I proceed, and navigate a bit of that with parental guidance, but with some independence as well.
No, I think, you know, many of us that have found ourselves working in what I refer to as the helping fields, something in particular inspires us either to take the path that we have gone. What inspired you to write a book in like this that is focusing on catching them when they're very young, which I think is brilliant?
Well, I have four children. And what I had observed, I've also worked in hospitals and treatment facilities and psychiatric hospitals, inpatient and outpatient, working with children of all ages and teenagers. And I learned early on, I was a recreation therapist in these facilities, and I learned very on that a lot of the things that I noticed that these young people were having trouble with could have been prevented in the interactions and in their time of growing up and taking some action early on in their lives with guidance that could have a positive influence in developing more of these experiences so that maybe the future troubles that come as a result of not having these positive experiences early on in their life that we've already talked about, we can head those off at the pass. You know, when somebody's feeling confident as a child, they feel more empowered to make healthier decisions. They choose not to put themselves in situations that will compromise their safety. Often that's not realized until it's too late.
You know, you mentioned that you take your book with you to preschoolers and kindergartners, as well as other people within the community. One of the things people who listen to this show frequently, know that I love stories, especially things where positive things that come out of things that we do. Can you share a couple of your favorite stories of what you've gotten from some of these visits?
Yes, of course. I've taken the book with me to many locations, excuse me, and I think the ones that have spoke the loudest to me has been in situations where children have the most challenges, maybe physically. And so when a child is given the opportunity to sit and listen and yet still has some physical problems, we're able to open up some doors and they're able to see the examples of this story come to life a little bit more because their heart's in a different place. And I think that one of the things that they like to do is to point out the different photos in the pictures, and they ask questions, and they want to know more details about the individuals and what's going on in their lives and where did the puppy come from. And what I think really has come off the pages is this curiosity to learn, and that all children want to learn. And so these children that have had more physical problems, they are just more honest, and they're just more open, and they haven't had a chance to feel like they can't accomplish something because they're already trying to accomplish challenging things. So they have a eagerness to learn. They have a readiness to make positive changes. And so they don't have an attitude, which you often see in young children that have not had examples of some of these aspects in their lives. They're just ready to learn, ready to share. And I usually take the dog with me. So they can't get enough of holding promise, that's for sure. Being able to brush the dog, talk to the dog, and realize that this little dog that's in the pictures is right here now in their laps. The joy that comes from being able to touch an animal makes their lives feel whole again in the moment where maybe at this time they've had more physical challenges, but yet those disappear. It's just having a joyful, wonderful experience.
Now, what would you say that promises sort of special job or special duty is when he goes to these, in the way in which he inspires the people in stories?
Well, her special job when we go on visitation is by me placing her in someone's lap, regardless of their age. She will snuggle up to them and press her head and her body into their chest. And you can see the facial expressions of the individuals just soften with peace, soften with contentment. And it just changes their world for a moment. I get comments like, well, you've made my day. You've made me feel happy when I was feeling sad. You've brought some hope into my life today. I was feeling so miserable, and now I feel good. You know, that pain doesn't hurt as bad as it did earlier. Oh, I forgot all about my arm was hurting. So I get comments that we're in a world of just pure pleasure.
Now, is Promise a therapy dog or an emotional support dog? And share with our listeners what the difference is.
Well, Promise first was, and Celia is my emotional support dog, and she's also a certified therapy dog. And there are two different distinctions between the two. The emotional support dog helps individuals with emotional problems by providing comfort and support in forms of affection and companionship. Now, there is no special training for the emotional support dog. However, you have to do it legally. And legally is obtaining this permission to have this emotional support dog, being a current patient of a licensed mental health provider, like a therapist, a psychologist, psychiatrist, and sometimes a family doctor. And you must receive a letter of proof of need for this dog based on a mental or psychiatric diagnosis from the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, or the DSM. Now, from there, do you have a question?
Well, I was going to say, for those people, there's people out there that may not know what the DSM is, but, you know, share what some of the medical or psychological needs that people have in which it makes them eligible for an emotional support dog.
Sure. One of the ones that comes to be quite often is anxiety. There's also depression, bipolar disorder or mood disorder, panic attacks, phobias, fear-type phobias or mood disorders, also some neurological disorders or neurocognitive-type disorders, some impulse control disorders, eating disorders. Many of them could also be personality disorders as well.
Now, I mean, I'm a dog owner. I have two dogs myself. I love them. You know, they're part of the family. So for somebody that maybe already has their own dog and at home, they feel that this is part of their emotional support. But what steps would they take in order for their dog to be
more
compatible?
Reminder.
Sure. There's several things.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The first one is, like I was saying, the current patient having permission from this type of mental health. And the second thing is having a mental or psychiatric diagnosis, or neurological sometimes that works as well. Third thing is this disability limits at least one major life activity for you. And this is actually a fourth thing that's a prescription to have this emotional support animal as a treatment for your health challenges. And each year at your annual from that letter, it has to be updated every single year.
Okay. So it sounds like you had yours then trained to then become a therapy dog. So explain the differences and what it takes to become a therapy dog, which I assume means that they cannot work with others.
Absolutely. So therapy dogs are real similar in the emotional support dog in the way that they provide affection and comfort to individuals in hospitals and nursing homes, other facilities. They're even being used sometimes now in court systems, and therapy dogs have become part of the fire department and the police department as well. So with them, your dog has to have special training in that they're okay being in situations that could be challenging. So you need to go through this process of training with a trainer, or you could get some advice through the Canine Good Citizen training program through the AK Citizens. The American Kennel Club offers responsible dog ownership type guidance. And it's pretty much part of the same thing that goes on with the therapy dog test, which means accepting a friendly stranger, being able to sit while being pet. The grooming and appearance has to always be in check. And then it's okay with your dog. You have no trouble with walking on the leash, and you're okay walking through a crowd, and you're being able to give him the commands of sit and down, showing obedience. And it goes into also being able to be comfortable with being around another dog. That's the challenge for some dogs. They have a hard time being polite around other dogs, but that's very important, because sometimes when you're in a therapy environment, there might be another dog on service at the same time that you are, and you may pass them, and you really need to make sure your dog is going to be comfortable and not be a problem around other dogs. Dogs also need to feel confident at all times in situations of your typical common distractions. And we also need to make sure the dog is comfortable with being brushed. So it's just the level of confidence in a dog being in a therapy environment, getting them comfortable with, say, IV poles or wheelchairs or crutches or loud noises or the floor machine that, you know, polishes the floors. These are some of the differences. And the test is very helpful. If you just go and look at the different aspects of the Canine Good Citizen test and see how your dog lines up with that. And you can also look into the pet partners where I was tested with my dog Promise, and they give you some ideas how to practice. And there's also, I went into a dog training program that gives you classes on therapy dog instruction. And that was very good because Promise and I both went to the class together. And it helped us learn areas we needed to practice more on.
You know, we have a listener question coming in. This one relates to rescue dogs. And I want to share out there that I appreciate everybody that takes the time to send in a listener question. I know that many people out there, they're working. They can't listen right away. They listen later. So we get some that are sent in ahead of time. Some during the show. But again, it's much appreciated. This one reads, I adopted two older, very calm and loving rescue dogs 3 years ago. I visit two local memory care facilities each week. The minute we walk through the door, the faces of almost every senior lights up. As simple as it sounds, this has become my most favorite part of my week. I ordered your book, and I am looking forward to reading and sharing it with my friends who also believe in forever families and animal therapy. And this is from James in San Francisco.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is so wonderful. I have some fellow therapy dog friends that have taken some rescue dogs and turned them into therapy dogs. So that's wonderful. One aspect of therapy dogs that we can mention is if you're going to certain facilities, like some nursing homes or assisted living, they might not require therapy dog certification. They just require that your dog is a well-behaved dog, and the dog demonstrates that on their visit, and all their shots are up to date. So that's another element of service with your dog if you find that that might fit your possibilities.
Yeah, I agree, and I love the fact that they're using rescue dogs, because I see this as a double win. You know, you're not only helping, in this case, they're going into a facility and helping people that are staying at that facility, but they're also rescuing the dogs themselves. So, you know, think about that. You know, when you're out there, you're going to get a dog. there are so many wonderful dogs that for whatever reason have ended up in a facility, and they can be some of the most loving, caring, wonderful dogs that you'll ever meet. So, yeah, again, thank you for James in this situation for helping the dog and helping people. Now, in getting back to the book, one of the things that I really liked was the fact that there were many characters, and I felt that the characters that people reading could relate to different characters. Was that your intention? And share a little bit about, you know, the characters in the story and maybe why you chose the ones you did.
Sure. I wanted to represent a typical family of a variety of people and situations. So we've talked a little bit about the Yorkshire Terrier, so we won't spend much more time there. But Big Daddy, he represents himself in the story. He's kind of a burly yet kind and gentle man, that he is the owner and caregiver of the litter of the Yorkshire Terrier puppies. And the mommy in the story is a petite, kind-loving woman in her late 30s or so. She's got brown hair, and she definitely loves dogs. And she also loves her children dearly and enjoys spending time with them, teaching them healthy habits and about living with integrity and positive and very helpful character traits. So there is four children in the story, and the first child's name is Casey. She's a 12-year-old girl with blonde hair and loves to dance and create pretend scenarios, like let's pretend to do this is happening in the story sometimes. And then Corey is a 9-year-old girl with red hair that likes to ride horses and enjoys taking charge. So she exhibits sometimes where she'd like to take charge and be a little bossy, but she learns that she needs to be a little bit better with her self-control and not be so bossy. And then there's Candace, who's 6 years old, girl with medium brown hair, and she loves karate and often gets herself into mischief, though she does have a tender heart and consoles her sisters sometimes when they're sad or upset, demonstrating that compassion that we were talking about. And then Camille is a 3-year-old with dark brown hair and loves to swim and often silently observes what's going around her. And I felt like this was in the story to remember those children that are more quiet and what might be going on in their mind sometimes. And they're learning a lot. And even if you don't realize it, they're learning maybe some things you don't want them to learn. So we as parents or caregivers really need to know what environments that they might be getting into or observing and exploring what's going on in their mind instead of just what they're sharing with their voices. So this 3-year-old certainly enjoys doing what her big sisters do. And sometimes that can be challenging too. You know, from the range of 12, 9, 6, and 3, the 3 and the 12-year-old might not be doing some of the same things, but sometimes they can be. So these are just elements of life in a story that I was trying to bring to life some examples of reality.
Yeah, and again, that's one of the things that I thought was so well done, was the fact that, you know, I looked at it and I thought, you know, I could envision, you know, a younger child, you know, that is a little bit quiet, you know, having this read to them, and thinking, you know, that's kind of like me, or in the same sense with the other children as well. So I just thought, you know, sometimes the easiest way to get through the children is for them to be able to see themselves in a particular situation or a particular character. So I that was just wonderful. I want to, for everybody out there, we're going to take a break, but I want you to stay with us, and if you would like, if you want to follow along, this is kind of a long website, so if you have something to write it down, if you're sitting at your computer, embracingwellnesscoach.com/forever family. So if you want to pull that up and you want to follow along with us, for those of you driving, we will have all of this on our website, so obviously don't try that. But if you want to share with us, we're going to take a break. We're in a little commercial right now, but we will be right back. Stick with us. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. Our guest today is Lisa Overcash, and we are talking about her book, My Forever Family. Now, Lisa, before we went to break, I mentioned a little bit in regards to your website. I know that you also have a Facebook page. Share with everybody out there a little bit about what they'll find there.
Sure. The Facebook page is My Forever Family, F-U-R-E-V-E-R, on Facebook. And what I do is I post photos of what the book might be similar about, so trips that we've taken, times I've read the book, or stuff about animals, the activity of the book, donations that I've made. I regularly donate the book. I recently donated the book to a university hospital here in North Carolina in the emergency room. I noticed that there was no children's books in the emergency room, and I thought, well, that can't be. So I recently made those donations. So if you go to the Facebook page, I like to say you'll see the book come to life in ways that it's being shared.
You know, and you just mentioned in regards to making donations, and you know, I shared in the introduction, and for those that are just now listening, you donate half your time to help others achieve greater wellness, which I just think is so wonderful. She also donates part of the proceeds of this book to various animal charities. So, again, you know, if you're looking for a reason to go out and get a book that's going to not only help, you know, your family, but, you know, this is also, you know, something that's going to help, you know, a variety of different animal charities as well. In fact, what are some of the charities, Lisa, if you could share, what are some of the charities that you donate to, and why did you choose those particular ones?
Sure. One of them is Best Friends Animal Society. Best Friends works nationwide in outreach programs with shelters, rescue groups, and members within their group to promote pet adoption, no-kill animal rescue, and spay and neuter practices. They are the ones that really helped a lot recently with the hurricanes Harvey in Texas and Irma in Florida. I chose them because they are a nationwide and even international as needed, because they also helped Wings of Rescue, who is another charity that I'm donating to. They work with Wings of Rescue, Best Friends Animal Society did, and Wings of Rescue is a group that blooper pilots that flies endangered pets from high intake or high kill shelters to no kill shelters, so that they can be better adopted into loving homes. So they work independently, and they worked together when they were helping with Hurricane Maria that happened last year. And so what I wanted to do is to make a difference in as many locations as possible. And since this is an internationally released book, it's also in Spanish, I wanted people to know that the charities that I chose are all over the world making a difference.
I love that. We have another question coming in. This one reads, last year I retired and sold my business. My collection of creatures has been growing, and I am totally in love with each and every one of them. I would love to help in some way with children, seniors, and others who may need emotional connection animals, the benefits that an emotional connection animal can offer. But I am not sure how to get started. Do you have any recommendations? And this is from Gloria in Birmingham.
My first plan would suggest that you look in your area for assisted living facilities or nursing homes or extended care and talk to either sometimes there's a social worker that's in charge or a volunteer coordinator, and explain to them that you would like to bring one or more of your dogs periodically, whatever works for your life, and get their ideas of how that would work best for their facility. And you could also do that with preschools, and you could also go into schools nearby, and the elementary schools would like that a lot. I have done some of that with pet care, because as we learn to take care of our pets and we teach our children to take care of our pets, we're also teaching them to value life, and we make a big difference in setting the stage for how they interact with themselves and others as they progress in their maturing and growing up.
Okay. We've talked a lot about in regards to the book and doing the work that you do as far as with your therapy dog Promise. We haven't talked a lot about your job as a wellness coach. So share a little bit about what you're doing as a wellness coach and how unique is it?
Well, as a wellness coach, I first started, I mentioned a little bit, as a recreation therapist. I'm an undergraduate from NC State and a master's from UNC in Chapel Hill. And I worked in inpatient and outpatient in hospitals and medical facilities. And so as I was having my children, I started realizing that I needed to be with them more than not. And so I decreased my hours and started doing more consulting and just evolved into a wellness coach. So someone comes to see me and I do an assessment as if I had before. And we look at their lives. We look at their physical life. We look at their mental health. We look at their spiritual life. We look at how their body's working. And we look and arise with what is going on that you might like to change. And we explore ways to do that. Sometimes it's relating to they want their body to be more flexible, stronger. They want their nutrition to be more wholesome and less processed food. We look at the aspects, and from there I plan a program to make those goals come to life. And I use different techniques, as possibilities could be yoga instruction. And yoga doesn't always have to be this challenging experience that's very difficult. Yoga can be of all different levels, meeting many different needs. I'm working with a person right now that has osteoarthritis, and she had trouble with mobility, and now she's not using a cane. So our goal is to make a difference in the ways necessary. So I have worked with young people as well in relationship building and social interactions. So it's not always going to be one way. It depends on the individual's needs. I also work with what's called Thai yoga body work, and that's a blend of assisted stretching and compression and yoga postures and applying pressure, opening up the muscles that might be very tight, or as well as with the osteoarthritis, working with joint mobilization techniques. So the goal is to establish a way to live life in this life that can be challenging at times that's smoother. And what ways can we bring life to meet our needs better, to feel like we're living this life that's more joyful instead of trudging through a mud each day? It doesn't have to be that way. Life can rise to a greater joyful, peaceful, pleasant experience.
I couldn't agree more. And what it sounds like to me is that you're looking at things from a mental, a physical, and a spiritual base, and starting with that, and then seeing where they can improve or where they need improvement.
Exactly.
And helping them along those ways. And I just think, I mean, it is so beautiful because I think all of us may excel in one area or another, but I think we all, you know, find, you know, that we may have allowed ourselves to slip back a little bit in one area or the other. And so I love the fact of having a coach, having somebody that can, you know, that can look at it in a, you know, with new eyes, because I think sometimes we're too close to it to see where the problem actually lies. I'd love to have you share a success story while you're doing your wellness coaching.
Sure. I will share a story that really is pretty special. And I think we often find this happening in our lives. And it's with an individual that came to me and said she didn't like the way that her life was going and that she had no energy. She was constantly fatigued, yet she wanted life to change, but she didn't know how. She didn't like the way her body was changing over time, and she believed she was stuck in this body that was not working well for her anymore and not looking like it used to. So through a series of different types of programming I set up for her, combination of weightlifting, combination of walking, yoga, regular deep relaxation program, which in the yoga language, it's called Yoga Nidra. We also had a food planning program of looking at eating whole foods, less processed food, focusing more on plants, minimizing a lot of the processed meats, and focusing on lean proteins. And so over a period of, I would say, just 3 months, she saw her life transform. So how did it transform? She noticed that the energy that she was not having when she woke up in the day or as her day progressed, it was present. She noticed a peace that started settling in the midst of conflict that would rise and settle into a sweeter difference for her. And so from here, life just continued to blossom in ways that she felt more confident in herself. She felt more hopeful that life could continue to get better and better instead of how she was feeling like it was going to get worse and worse. And she felt like there was a new glow in her outward countenance and the way she looked and how she engaged with the world. Her husband and her spouse, I mean, her husband and her children, liked the vibrant that she brought to the family. She had energy to be able to go and share with her family in ways that she had been saying no. She felt like she can volunteer in the community. So life just began to blossom into a new, pleasant difference of joy. Waking up with a joy versus what do I have to do each day versus what do I get to do each day.
See, I love that. I mean, that to me is, I mean, that's golden. I mean, that's the nuggets, you know, that I want everybody out there listening to be able to take from this. You know, that is that, you know, there are so many ways to just get up and look at life in such a positive way. And unfortunately, I mean, through media and so on, we seem to have gotten to this thing of having to magnify everything that is negative and almost avoid things that are positive. And so to be able to turn that around, and I think people don't realize the amount of stress and anxiety that all of these things, you know, put on us. So number one, it's, you know, the stress from the outside. But as you said, you know, just, you know, taking processed foods out, just going outside and walking and taking in the sunshine, or just grounding, walking barefoot so that you're feeling the ground. All of these things that we can do to help. And I love the fact that you've incorporated so many of these things into your practice. And it's just, to me, another way in which you're making a positive difference in the lives of others, which is, I think, what should be all of our goal.
Absolutely. I think that for me, if you're not reaching out and giving of yourself, I don't feel as put together my own self. And what I have learned is that if we're not considering others, we're too focused on ourselves. And when we're too focused on ourselves, we only often see darkness versus seeing the light and the greatness in this world. Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of stuff in this world that's not great, but we have to acknowledge it, but we don't have to focus on it and live our lives from that place every day. We don't want to pretend it doesn't exist, but we don't want it to be how it fuels ourselves every day. We can't function in a positive, joyful manner if we are trying to swirl in that darkness. So there's a vibrancy, there's a life feeling that comes from the gift of sharing yourself with others. And I think that everybody has learned that if you just do something kind for someone, the kindness comes back to you double-fold. Even if you don't, we don't have that as the ulterior motive. That's not the way it works. You're giving from your heart. You're giving of yourself because that is the joy. Yeah. It rises from that. We rise from it. We keep rising up from that experience.
Yeah, and we're social creatures. That is what we are. And as social creatures, we should be out there interacting with others. And to be able to go out and interact with people and do it in a positive way, it's such a win-win situation. It sort of helps everything else grow in a positive way. I got to tell you that I'm so glad that you've come on. I'm so glad that you've written the book. I just want to acknowledge you for the people out there that is truly making a positive difference in the lives of others. So I just really want to thank you. And I think we're just about out of time, but two thoughts come to mind. One is that I know that you signed your book in a unique way. If you could share with our listeners. For those that would like a book, that they would like one that's signed, share the unique way in which you do it and how they can get one.
Sure, definitely. I wanted it to have a very personal touch. So when I sign the book, whether I'm at a book signing or if people contact me and they want me to give them a signed book, I sign my signature and promise the dog in the story gives her paw print on the signature page as well. So you'll have a signature for me and a signature for Promise. And if you would like that, you can contact me through L as in love, F as in faith, Overcash, OVERCASH at gmail.com. Or you can contact me on my web page, which is embracingwellnesscoach.com, or even on Facebook. I've had people contact me through the Facebook page requesting a book, and I can get that to you for sure, and happy to do it.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much. For everybody out there, if you get the opportunity, if you either have children or grandchildren, I highly recommend that you pick up this book because it is so positive, and it just puts out so much great information, and it makes everybody reading it feel better, but it also has this I think long-lasting effect, because the kids that are reading it, they're getting something that they're going to take with them for the rest of their life. So thank you so much. And for everybody out there, be sure to put us on your calendar and tune in next Monday when our special guest will be Julie Simon. She is the author of When Food Is Comfort. Nurture yourself mindfully, rewire your brain, and end emotional eating. And please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com, or you can subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, and probably a few others. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. It will help us reach more people. We truly appreciate it. Next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please remember to stop by our page, check out some of our latest posts. If you like them, please like us and continue to spread the word. Be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.